Hello and welcome to another edition of the Regarding ID podcast. This is Zach Martin, editor of Regarding ID magazine, and today we're continuing our series on ID standards, speaking with Don Tebow, executive director at the Open ID Foundation and chairman and president of the Open ID Exchange. But before we dive in, first a word from our sponsor.
Whether you are protecting a critical infrastructure or vital information, or securing a facility or border, you need to answer the same question. In the modern world of identities, how do you establish with absolute certainty that someone is who they claim to be? At CSC, we understand that the heart of identity management is the creation of trusted identities. For more information, go to csc.com/identity-management. CSC, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
There's been a lot of discussion around securing online identities. What types of technologies will be used and what standards that technology will use is a hot topic right now. With a variety of standards out there, it can be difficult to keep everything straight. The purpose of this podcast series is to try and give listeners a guide to the different standards out there. In this podcast, Don's going to fill us in on where OpenID fits with the different online ID efforts underway. Thanks for joining me today, Don.
Thank you.
Tell me about the OpenID Foundation. What's it about? What are you guys trying to accomplish?
Well, the foundation's, I think, a very interesting creature. And by that, I mean it's what I call a team of rivals. And that is that the companies and communities that are represented on the board of the foundation are really the industry leaders that that take identity as central to their corporate strategy. And they focus on identity from a user-centric point of view. And what I mean by a team of rivals is that they are companies that really fall along the whole spectrum from enterprise leaders like Microsoft to consumer web identity providers like Google, and social media leaders like Facebook. So we get a check mark for diversity and different kinds of technology on the foundation. But I think the companies themselves, as well as the community members that are on the board, are an indicator of how important identity is becoming to business in that broad spectrum from enterprise to social media players.
Talk to me a little bit about OpenID's technology. Kind of, how does it work? How does a user sign up for it, use it?
Well, I think one of the powers, the powerful thing about OpenID technology is that users don't have to sign up for it. And what I mean by that is that today, if you have a Gmail account, an AOL account, a Yahoo account, and others, you already are OpenID enabled. And what that means fundamentally and originally is that you can take your Gmail account or your AOL account and use it on other websites. It's called a single sign-on value proposition. And again, it allows people to not be bothered with creating a new account and a new password, not have to make a new identity for every website that they visit. Rather, they can use an identity from a provider that they trust, that they have a relationship with today, and move through the Internet using that identity that they've chosen and that provider that they do business with. So the single sign-on value proposition is fundamentally a very powerful one because the technology is hidden. The ease of use is very straightforward, and the benefits that come are clear to both the consumer and customer, as well as to the industry players involved.
One thing I was curious about with your system, how do you educate the user on that, you know, that they can use their Yahoo ID on another site so that they feel safe and comfortable putting that same logon information into another website so they don't feel like they're getting phished or something like that?
Well, it's a good question because it really has two parts. One is the education of the user is such that each of those companies I talked about, the identity providers like Google and Yahoo and others, really take it upon themselves to let their customers know that they have this capability of moving through the web using their existing identity, their existing email account. I think what you're pointing to in terms of the security challenge is a fundamental problem that all of the industry is grappling with, which is, again, how do you make that ease of use trade-off with security acceptable to the consumer and appropriate to the different kinds of transactions that that consumer will want to undertake. So it's an issue that we continue to work on through the foundation, and we have a number of companies like Microsoft, PayPal, IBM, and others for whom enterprise security is core to their business, and for the adoption of OpenID really challenges some of the long-standing ways that they've thought about identity. So phishing is and will remain a major challenge, not only to the OpenID technology, but across the web.
Can you explain to our listeners how OpenID fits in with some of the other ID standards that are out there and how you guys are working together?
Yeah, OpenID really is part of a rapidly growing and robust ecosystem of identity standards. And again, we have new identity standards being proposed almost on a monthly basis because identity is becoming so important to commerce and particularly important to cloud-based applications. But OpenID today sits with other identity standards like information cards, OAuth, SAML, and others. I think probably the best and perhaps a bit simplistic way of thinking about it is that OpenID is really the on-ramp to the Internet and the on-ramp to some of these other standards that have at their core different use cases, different applications, different levels of security, and such. So you'll see a number of applications that begin with OpenID, move to an information card paradigm so that people can operate at higher levels of security or what we call higher levels of assurance.
Most of our listeners know about the National Strategy for Secure Transactions in Cyberspace, and you know, there's talk out there about adding levels of assurance to online identities. Has there been any discussion among the OpenID folks about adding, you know, identity vetting to that so that people can have levels of assurance associated with their OpenID logon?
Yeah, the members of the OpenID Foundation were at the forefront of responding to the initiative by the government that really talked about, in governmental terms, open identity for open government. This was an effort on the part of the Obama administration to, as Vivek Kundra said when he invited the board of the foundation to the White House, he said, look, we want to meet the consumer, your customers, where they are today. And where they are today is, for the most part, using OpenID, whether they know it or not. So I think the starting point for that interaction between the foundation and the White House was working with the ICAM folks around standardizing on OpenID 2.0 as the standard that the government has chosen to interact with citizens. That happened about 2 years ago. A year later, at this most recent RSA, we announced the first certification of identity providers through the government's process and the development of a trust framework, a certification, if you will, of those companies that have agreed to the technology standard that the government chose at level one, as well as the policy interop standards that were associated with that. The idea was to have at the most easiest use case, what's called level one level of assurance, an opportunity for existing email accounts to be used in a variety of government agencies. So over the last 2 years, we've been piloting that, and slowly but surely, more and more government websites now accept OpenID and use the certification of OpenID providers like Google, Yahoo, and others in their website. So a level one assurance really allows you to do some very basic things. Mm-hmm. It allows you to keep an anonymous identity, but it allows you to use an existing account, like a Gmail account, to reserve a campsite at a national park. Higher levels of assurance, using your Gmail account or your VeriSign account, your Equifax account, to interact with the government, to pay your taxes, to check your benefits, are higher levels of assurance, level two and level three. And today, we have a close collaboration with the government to begin to pilot LOA 2 and LOA 3 use cases so that industry and government can understand the technical interoperability challenges as well as the policy challenges that come part and parcel of working in a government application set.
Can you give me any more details, any more information about the pilot, what you guys are, how you guys are doing the different levels of assurance? And
as a matter of fact, we're going to be demonstrating a new set of applications at higher levels of assurance at an upcoming Gartner conference in San Diego at the end of the year, end of the month. What we want to do is to show how some of our existing use cases, the National Library of Medicine, the National Cancer Institute, how we can allow researchers both in the U.S. and overseas to use an OpenID not only to log into a government website, but begin to access content that requires these higher levels of assurance. In that, we have to, we being industry and government, have to agree on some rules, what we call. We've got the tool set up, OpenID 2.0, but the harder thing than technology often is the politics or the policy that is part and parcel of making progress.
Right.
What I mean by that is you have to agree on the technical interop, but you also have to agree on the policy that goes with that. And the policy, in this case, often begins with discussions around privacy. The good news here is that for the first time, the government has been clear and definitive about their expectations around privacy. And it's allowed the government has allowed industry to opt in or self-select which identity providers choose to follow these rules that the government has promulgated. And in coordination with what we call the tool, the technical standard, we now have a clear view of what level one looks like, and we're now developing rules and tools for level two and three. Again, it's long-winded, but it's in the interest of the government to make sure that the identity providers have been vetted. And it's in the interest of the industry to protect their customers and citizens so that they can be assured of a repeatable and reliable experience and that the information that industry has about its customers is protected in every instance, including that of working with government agencies.
Okay. Is the pilot you guys are doing, is that at the Catalyst show, the Catalyst conference this year?
Yeah, the Catalyst Conference is going to be a great example of a number of organizations, not only OpenID Foundation, but also the Information Card Foundation and our colleagues in academia called In Common, to show interoperability on both technical and policy levels with government websites.
Okay.
And this is not just about government. It really is using the government use case as a way of kind of a forcing function, if you will, to have these standards clearly available throughout industry. And as often happens, government standards tend to leak out and heavily influence what happens in the private sector.
Right. Don, we've been talking about the OpenID Foundation and the Open Identity Exchange here, and you know they are two different organizations, and you play a role with both of them. But you know, the OpenID Exchange is doing a little bit of different work than the OpenID Foundation, correct? Or can you?
Yeah, two things happened earlier this year. That is that the OpenID Foundation, which is really about technology, really about interoperability for identity at a technical level, the foundation said, let's keep true and focused on that technical mission, but let's make sure that we support an industry-wide effort around policy. So the OpenID Foundation, as well as the Information Card Foundation, and some industry leaders like Google and VeriSign and Verizon and others, created the OIX, the Open Identity Exchange. And the job of the OIX is not technology, but policy. Having two different organizations not only kept the focus clear, but it also gave different companies the opportunity to decide at a time and manner of their choosing when they would seek certification by OIX and how they wanted to interact with some of these really difficult issues around privacy.
Well, Don, is there anything else you want to mention about OpenID and the work that you guys are doing that our listeners should know about?
Yeah, I think folks that are listening to this already self-selected as identity experts, perhaps, or at least interested in identity. And I think what's going to happen in the fall is that for the first time, the U.S. government is going to be publishing essentially in what they call an identity strategy. And I think that strategy and the presidential signature on that is really going to shine a spotlight on this whole emerging world of identity authentication, identity management, identity authorization. So I think that there's going to be a real spike in interest around these issues. And we at the OpenID Foundation and OIX have been heavily involved with the White House drafting effort. So I think for listeners to this podcast, they'll want to stay tuned to see what the White House has to say about identity and to be prepared for when their CEOs, their CIOs walk into their office and say, hey, what's this all about? They'll have a good answer and hopefully get more involved with the foundation's effort to make sure that we do this right. Because I think this is important stuff, not only for consumers and customers, but also how citizens interact with their government.
Great. Well, Don, I'd like to thank you for joining us on this latest edition of the Guardian ID podcast.
My pleasure.